Luke chapter number 8 tonight. Luke chapter number 8. I want to try my best to paint a picture tonight that I really believe could change our lives if we could just get a hold of it. I'm probably not going to say anything new, but I really believe tonight that it's something that could absolutely change our lives and change our church. And hopefully God will help me just to get it across. I don't know how much preaching I'll do tonight. I may do more teaching tonight than preaching. And I believe that's part of pastoring as well. Amen. Stand with me and let's read starting in verse number 4 of Luke chapter number 8. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. And I don't have to tell you this, but a parable is an earthly illustration that illustrates a heavenly truth or a spiritual truth. And so Jesus said, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. I want you to get this now. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation or a time of trial, they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Verse 16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but he setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known, or be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Those are key words in the parable right there. Seemeth to have. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's one thing to seem to be a Christian. It's another thing to be a Christian. It's one thing, beloved, the Pharisees, they were proud of what they were on the outside. But Jesus said inside they're full of dead men's bones. Amen. You can be seated. Pray with me a moment. Father, I want to thank you for the precious word of God. And I want to thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. I want to thank you for each one that's here tonight. And Lord, I want to ask you tonight, to help me to say what needs to be said and leave off anything that doesn't need to be said. And I pray, dear Lord, that You would speak to our hearts this evening. And Lord, help us. We need Your help. This pastor needs Your help. My people need Your help. God, peradventure, there's one here tonight, unsaved. God, they sure need Your help. I pray tonight You'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I think tonight what I want to call the message is this: the makings of a good garden. The makings of a good garden. And it's that time of year. I don't know if it, if my wife told me the other day, I didn't look, I just knew it was fixing to rain. And so I plowed the garden. And honestly, I'm being honest. Some might laugh at this, but my dad farmed when he was coming up, but I never did farm with my dad. And so I really didn't know how you were supposed to plow. And so I'm not too full of pride. I called my neighbor. He's a farmer. I said, stop by the barn up here, would you? And show me if I'm doing this. I was starting on the bottom, rolling it up the hill. But then I was running over what I plowed. You understand what I mean? Going on up. He said, forget all that and come up here. So I went up to the top. I still rolling it up the hill. He said, now go through there. Keep your right wheel right on this edge right here where you want it. And I did. He said, now come back. He said, now put your right wheel in that ditch right there and go again. And I'm telling you, in 30 seconds, he taught me how you're supposed to plow. It didn't take long. Amen. And I thought to myself, isn't that a shame that I'm 65 years old and don't know how to plow a garden? But I learned. Did you know you can be 65 and still learn? Sister Linda, I about guarantee if you'd ask Brother Don a day or two before he left this world, he's still learning, still preparing, still studying, still learning. Amen. So let's ask God to help us to learn something tonight about the makings of a good garden. I don't know why, but I'm not going to turn to the Scripture, but God put this in my mind. Did you know that evidently God's interested in a garden? That's where He put man. He made Adam and He made Eve and He put them in the garden. What? To keep it. Yeah. Ain't that right?
That's right.
You know, I'd like to keep a garden like that. No weeds. No thorns. Amen. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Amen. But that's what He did. He said, now in the midst of the garden, there's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that. But in the very beginning, God had interest in a garden. Now, I'm going to give you some things tonight that I hope and pray will be a blessing to you. The first thing we need to consider tonight is the soil. I believe really this parable, it wouldn't do any injustice to the Bible instead of calling it the parable of the sower to call it the parable of the soil. God's teaching us something here about the soil. There's good soil, and then there's the seed fell among thorns. It fell on stony ground. It fell by the wayside. And I'm telling you, Miss Eve could go buy $1,000 worth of seed. And we could go up and down the road and go over in the hay field and throw them out everywhere. And we wouldn't have one mater. We wouldn't have one tater. Somebody say amen. In other words, the soil is important. There's got to be a piece of ground and it's got to be prepared. It's going to have to be plowed. And thank the Lord, God gave me, a man loved me enough, He gave me a tiller to go behind my tractor. So when I get out there now, it's been plowed. When it's time to plant, I'll just till. I mean, it will make powder out of the ground. Amen. And I'll till it up good. I know how to do that. You can't mess that up. Amen. But anyway, so that it's important. The soil is important. And I was thinking when God gave me this message and began to deal with my heart about it, about a guy in New York. He just had a little bit of grass. You know how it is in New York. But anyway, well, maybe you don't know how it is. I don't want to know how it is in New York. Amen. But anyway, had just a little bit of grass. So he just cut the sod off the top of it, made a form, poured it full of concrete, painted it green, put up a sign in the middle of it, said, done mowing. Amen. I wouldn't care to do that. Amen. But there's a lot of soil like that in the world. I believe the soil is representing a man's heart. And we never know how a man's heart is. We don't know if his heart is hardened. Sometimes he'll say things that might reveal that. But I'm telling you that according to Jesus, he's the one that gave the parable. There's some good soil out there. There's some people. The ground's been plowed. I believe one of the minor prophets said, break up your fallow ground. And so the ground's been plowed. The ground's been broken up. It's been prepared. Some of the old timers, and I can only imagine doing this, Brother Bill, without bulldozers and without tractors, but they would prepare a new ground. They'd have to go in there and cut the trees and the saplings, and they'd have to dig all them roots and stuff up. But they was preparing to grow something. You couldn't just go out there and throw the seed down and expect to have a garden. And so I believe that the soil is very important. And number two in the makings of a good garden is not only the soil, but the seed. If you look in Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 11, Jesus left us no doubt what he was talking about here with the seed. He said the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. I believe in the parable, beloved, that Jesus wants us to understand the importance of the seed. The Bible said it like this, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a lot of things in this world that I do not have confidence in, but I have confidence in this seed. I have confidence in it. It's changed my life. I've seen it change many lives since God saved me and called me into the ministry. Amen. Not as many as I would like, but I have confidence that what people need is not what thus saith Pastor Vinoy, but what thus saith the Word of God. The Bible did say, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I believe there's no doubt tonight that the Bible's talking here in the seed about the Scripture. And then in Psalm 126 and 6, he said this, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's over in the book of Psalms, chapter 126. And so God didn't just say it's seed, but it's precious seed. The Word of God is precious. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so Jesus is the Word. He is the living Word of God. And when you share Jesus and you share the Word of God, you're sharing Jesus. When you share Jesus, you're sharing the Word of God. And the book of Haggai said something, and I'm going to illustrate this a little bit later. It's in chapter 2 of the book of Haggai, in verse number 19, it said, is the seed yet in the barn? Miss Eve, you've not bought your seed yet, have you, honey? Okay. Okay, let's just imagine this for just a moment, okay? Let's just imagine for just a moment. Pastor's learned how to plow, and he's plowed. Pastor's hook got the plow off now, and he's got the tiller on. And I mean, he's got that ground looking good. And that seed lays there in the barn all summer. Now, somebody asked me, tell me, are we going to have a harvest? Maybe the crows got some of it. Maybe some of it didn't come up. You go and you take this stick. It's sharpened. You stick it in the ground. You drop a seed in it, kick a little dirt over it, and now you've got a full row of corn. And Dad and his buddy got tarred. So Brother Bill, they went out there at the end of the row and they just kicked out a big hole in the dirt and throwed all the seed in there. Amen. Kicked dirt over and went over and sat down under the shade tree. But you know what happened? It come up in the wrong place. Amen. It all come up in the same place. You couldn't hide it. Amen. That's a different message. Amen. Whatsoever you sow, that shall he also reap. Amen. And so we need a sower. In the parable, Jesus is the sower. We need to get the seed out of the barn and we need to sow. Now, I'm going to read something to you tonight. Some people they're scared. I don't know how you spell scared, but that's country for scared. Some people are scared to tell somebody about the Lord or sow this gospel seed. They could talk about the race. They could talk about the ball game. They could talk about cows or talk about dogs or talk about the house. They could talk about anything under the sun. But when it comes to talking about Jesus, all of a sudden they just, that's hard. Well, we've already seen there were some little ones even helping Miss Eve. So it says here, this is something I want to read. A true heart of compassion will let those on the way to destruction know that they can escape. But the only escape is through Jesus. How many of y'all believe that? I mean, that's the only escape route is through Jesus. Amen. It ain't through Bible way. It ain't through pastor. It ain't through papaw. The only escape, the only way to escape judgment is through Jesus. And he said, we need to tell people they're in trouble with God and that God alone has provided a way to escape. But how? Do we all have to share the same way? No. The unbelieving world is made up of a variety of people, young, old, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, urban, rural, with different race, personalities, values, politics, and religious backgrounds. It's going to take more than one style of evangelism to reach such a diverse population. This came to my mind. I didn't plan on saying this. Sister Helen Gerald's dad, I met him several years ago. He was having heart issues at the time. It looked like for a while that maybe his heart was softening somewhat. We don't need to give up. We still need to pray for him. But I was having a hard time getting the truth across to him. And he's got a big, nice, fine house up on the hill. And I asked him, I called his name and I said, if you were, you hired somebody to build this house. And I said, you came up here on the hill and they had the ditches dug for the foundation and they had about three or four courses of block laid up and you looked down at the bottom of the block and there was sand in the ditch. No concrete. I said, what would you do? That man looked at me and said, I'd make them tear it out. I said, you know what you need to do? You need to tear out what's been going on for 75 years. Amen. Because you've got to get on the right foundation, amen, if you're going to build anything for the Lord. I'm just telling you, when Jesus was talking to a fisherman, he had a way to talk to a fisherman. When he was talking to a woman by the well, he had a way to talk to the woman by the well. There's no one set way, amen. And that's where it comes in walking with the Lord and letting the Lord hear in what Brother Jason said, being able to hear what the Lord's saying to you about what needs to be said, being led of the Lord. And he says, so what is your style? And every one of these are scriptural examples. The first style is confrontational, nose to nose. You say, where'd you get that? Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized and save yourself from this corrupt generation. See, that's confrontational, amen. And then intellectual, Paul debated with the philosophers at Mars Hill to convince them. Because he loved them, Brother Jason. Amen. He went toe-to-toe with them. He had education too. And he used it when he needed it. Put it on the dunghill when he didn't. Amen. He used it for God's glory. Testimonial. You remember when Jesus healed the blind man? He said, well, whether he's a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Every one of God's children's got a testimony. If you don't have a testimony, you need to meet Jesus. Because, buddy, he'll lift that load off of you. He'll put a new song in your heart, even praise unto our God. Relational. You remember when the fellow was among the tombs? He was eat up with demons. You remember when Jesus delivered him? What did he tell him, Brother Jay? He said, go home. Tell your friends. In other words, relationships. Tell your friends. Tell your family how great things the Lord hath done for thee. So there's all kinds of ways to sow the seed is what I'm getting at. Invitational. The Samaritan woman at the well, you know what she did? She went back to town and said, come see a man. She was giving him an invitation. Come see somebody that told me all things ever that I'd done. Is not this the Christ? You can read your Bible, beloved. She didn't have any formal training. But the Word of God said many believed on him for the saying of the woman. That's what the Word of God said. And then Jesus come to town, many more believed on him. Amen. Ain't that good? Our testimony. Serving. In Acts chapter 9, Dorcas, she impacted her city by doing deeds of kindness. Don't ever think you're a second-class Christian because you don't proclaim Christ like Peter or like Paul. Discover your own method. Then get out of your chair and use it. When I read that, Sister Linda, I thought about Brother Don. I was preaching one Sunday morning about getting out of your comfort zone. He told me back there at the door, he said, Pastor, every time I get out of my recliner, I get out of my comfort zone. I'll never forget that as long as I live. Amen. But I'm telling you, really, God's people, we need to get out of the chair. We need to get out of our comfort zone. Amen. And let God use us. Amen. And then we can do it for the glory of God. We can live by faith and not by fear. And now, we got the soil. We're talking about the makings of a good garden. We got the seed. We got the sower. But then we need something that I put down here called saturation. 2 years ago, we had one of the awfulest droughts in the summertime. Miss Eve had done put in all that work, putting all that seed in the garden. You know what I did? I come up with a way. I said, honey, we'll water that garden. She said, how are you going to do it? And I made a way that I could take my tractor down to the pond and let a 55-gallon drum down into that water. I even had a weight on it to tip it over, and it would start filling up with water, and I jerk it up right quick, and I had about two-thirds of a 55-gallon drum full without touching it. Had a valve plumbed into the bottom of it. Hey, I ain't no dummy, youngins. I ain't near as dumb as I look. And so I get up there above the garden, Brother Dale, and I'd lift that thing up high. We'd hook a water to it. Miss A go through there. She wasn't watering it with that chlorine, Brother Steve. She was watering it with pond water, God's water. Amen? I'm telling you, the seed needs to be sown. But there's going to have to be some saturation, amen? And sometimes God will rain, and it'll be great. Sometimes you get too much rain, and the taters are rotting the ground. Can I get some help tonight? But sometimes, beloved, you don't have rain, and you got to water the seed if you're going to have a garden, amen? Well, the Bible said, he that goeth forth and weepeth. I believe that's one of the things we need. The saturation must be timely. Can we have a garden with plenty of water on time if the seed's not planted? Well, if you got plenty of water, plenty of prayer, plenty of tears, and yet the seed ain't been planted, there still ain't going to be no garden. Am I right or am I wrong? Amen. And then the last thing that I want to give you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Then I'm going to illustrate something tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, in the Word of God, I had no idea I'd be up here this long tonight. I thought I'd be done in just a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, I believe it is. No, it's chapter number 3. I must have hit the wrong button. Maybe I was half asleep. I don't know. It's chapter 3. I'm going to read this in its context because I believe it's important. Let's start with verse 1. Paul said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while..." Now watch, if you don't read it in its context, you miss the point. Because what happens in verse number 4, he said, "While one saith, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos." He said, "Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who then is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" Now watch this. Now watch that there, every man. Watch verse 6. He said, "I have planted, and Apollos watered," and then there's a but. This is probably the most important thing in the text. God gave the increase. In other words, beloved, there's no room in this thing of God's garden. There's no room. I could say, "Boy, Miss Eve, she's got a green thumb." You know what Miss Eve ought to say? "Honey, God give us a garden. Because we put it in the ground. But if we have anything to eat, amen, the Lord's going to have to give the increase." Those two babies I was telling you about, we had to replant the taters last year. Taters didn't do good at all last year. But anyway, we replanted them. Amen. You know what? I like this. I wish the whole church could see this, brother. James is sowing seed tonight. It's everywhere up here. I like it. Amen. But when we replanted those taters, Brother David, we got out there at the end of the row. I said, "Okay, youngins," I said, "let's sit down here in the grass." "What are we going to do, Papa?" I said, "We're going to pray." I said, "Because we've done all we can do. But if we have any taters, we're going to need the Lord's help." Amen. I hope my babies will never forget that. Amen. That, listen, what does that do? I tell you what it does. It lets us know. It lets my babies know that we're dependent on God. There's some things we just can't do. Amen. Without His help. We need a Savior. That's the last thing. If you're going to have a good garden, you need soil, you need the seed, you need a sower, you need saturation, and you need a Savior. You can't do it without God. Somebody has got to go get the Lord. Amen. A good a garden requires planning. I never did know anything about this until just several years ago. And you can be for it or against it, but I'm telling you, there's one thing that made a believer out of me. My grandpa was a believer in doing things in the signs. He said, "There's a time to dig a hole, and there's a time to set a fence post, and there's a time you can work yourself to death, and it won't be tight." Amen. He said, "There's a time to plant taters. There's a time to plant beans." And my wife's got one of those almanac calendars now. And she even told me the other day, I told you I plowed right before it rained because I knew rain was coming and it was dry enough to plow. And I didn't even look at the signs, Brother David. Miss Eve said, "Honey, it's good. You plowed in the sign." My grandpa years ago, he hollered at his neighbor. He said, "You're not planting them taters in the sign." And the neighbor hollered back, said, "I know it. I'm planting them in the ground." Amen. But I'm telling you, there's something to it. I built a fence there at my house with 4x4s, and it looked like a drunk had been up through there. You could walk up to any one of those fence posts and push it back and forth a foot. And I've got posts in the ground right now. I paid attention to the sign. They don't have a lick of concrete around them, but every one of them feels like they've been concreted. I mean, that fence is straight. That fence is strong. You run into it, the vehicle, your vehicle is going to be in trouble. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight that there's a season. And there's a season for the soil. There's a season. And we need to pay attention. It requires planning. A good garden requires work. I'll tell you why a lot of people will never get involved in God's work. Because it's work. Say amen. It's work. You're going to have to work at it. And then a good garden You know what it does? It results in a harvest. I wouldn't go through all that, Sister Debbie, if I wasn't looking to eat something out of it. Amen? I wouldn't do it. It's just too much like work to go through all of that and not look for a harvest. Now, I want to illustrate something tonight, if I may. I've got something here. Oh. Everybody see that? It's a cooler full of dirt. Soil. When I look at it, I think of Brother Larry. He's older than that dirt. Now over here, I've got a church. Can everybody see the church sitting right here? And here I've got something that represents the Word of God. It's seed. Okay? It's seed. I'm putting it right there. I don't have a way to put it in the church, but I'm putting it right there to represent that seed's in the church. Okay? Now I want to ask you something. If a person is going to see the Lord work and grow and and we're going to see a harvest, let me ask you something. Let's just say, Brother Jason, let's have 24-hour prayer meetings. Oh God, bless the seed. Bless the Word of God, Lord. We're going to have a garden? Weeping. Worshiping. What's going to have to happen? What's going to have to happen? I've got something up here. I tried to go through there real quick and just get about one of each. These are the little 15-minute cards. If somebody watches this video, they will be exposed to 39 verses of Scripture and the way that they can know that they're going to leave this world and go to heaven. Don't mean they're necessarily going to happen, but it's seed. Here's something called How to Know You're Going to Heaven. Here's one called How to Be Saved. Here's one called What If. Here's one called This Was Your Life. Here's one called, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This is a wonderful one for a restaurant. Thank you. You give it to somebody that's been a good waiter, a good waitress at the restaurant. Here's one, probably my favorite track, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. I love that gospel track. How to Know You're Going to Heaven. Here's one that says, Someone Cares Enough. Here's one that says, How Are You Doing? Here's one that says, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Here's one that says, and I like this, the greatest story ever told. How many believes the gospel's the greatest story that's ever told? And wouldn't it be a shame if it was the greatest story never told? Here's one by John Rice. All have sinned. Here's another one by Dr. Rice. Saved for certain. Here's another one by Shelton Smith. Hell is for real. Here's another one by Dr. Rice. Are you going to heaven? Does anybody know where I found this seed? How many knows where I found the seed? Okay. Now I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But how many can remember the last time that you took some of that seed out of the barn and planted it in the field? You know what God wants to do tonight? Listen, I'm not fussing. I need to do better. There was a time in my life, Brother Chuck, you didn't even get around me without hearing the story. And sometimes we cool off. And sometimes we cool off for different reasons, amen? Sometimes it's the cares of this life just choking it out, amen? Sometimes we're just too busy. Amen. But you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to just challenge the church tonight to have a summer of sowing and see what God does. A summer of sowing. Now, if I were to take this seed, I had this, man, I had it in my mind, and I'm going to get five of these. I believe there's enough room over there to plant five of them in that cooler. And we need, Sister Barbara's not here tonight, but we're going to need Sister Barbara and Brother Gary's help, because they come up water the flowers. And so what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to take this seed. You see, we'll put some of it among the thorns. Brother Jason, this is your job after church. Just throw it down on the porch out there between the planters on stony ground.
For the crows.
Hmm?
For the crows to get.
So, mm-hmm. Brother Mike, here's you some. Just throw it down over the bank in that grass down there. They some little old bird going to just absolutely love that, okay? But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to plant. I did a little research today. It said that corn ought to be planted 2 inches deep. My son said, Dad, if you get that corn to do good in a cooler like that, he said, you'll have to water it every day. I said, son, if I have to drive to Kingsport myself and water it, God wants to teach us something. The Bible said in one of the other parables, it said, bringeth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. So this cooler is going to hang around, amen? Now listen, there's one thing that messes up the illustration a little bit. God's Word is perfect seed. You can get bad seed, can't you? We pray that's not the case, amen? But if we do, we'll replant it. Not like my dad did. But I'm going to plant it. And we're going to pray over it. And we're going to water it. And I don't know where we're going to put it, Brother Jason, out there. We're going to try to put it somewhere where every time you come to church, how many believes it might come up? Wouldn't that be good, brother? You know what I pray, brother? I pray that there's at least two good ears on it. Me and you'll get us some butter and some salt and pepper. We'll get Miss Eve, go back there and boil it. Amen. The rest of them do it out. We'll just eat it up. Amen. 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 So, everybody's in agreement. It don't matter what we do over here. We can pray all we want to. Amen. And I'm not against praying. I'm for it. I'm for praying. Well, we'll take it over here. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, the Word of God is so much more precious than a grain of corn. Father, if it could be in your will, would you let this corn come up? Would you give the increase, our Lord? What's been spoken tonight, Lord? May it challenge our hearts, our Father. Lord, we just carried the seed across the platform. God, I'll drive to Illinois this week, preach a funeral tomorrow night. Lord, I'm going to be giving out seed on the way when I get there. God, there's one thing for sure. I can't make it come up. God, you got to give the increase. Lord, we've done what we could. Lord, I believe I'll have some help around the church, seeing to it that the seed gets watered. Lord, would you help us? God, there's going to be so many opportunities this summer, Lord, to get out the truth. Lord, Bloomingdale is our garden. God, you've given us this community to plant seed in. Lord, our responsibility is not to make it grow, but our responsibility is to sow. Lord, I pray you'd help us to take our responsibility seriously and understand our Father, that, Lord, little is much when God is in it. Lord, I ask you to give the increase. Lord, John, when he gave us his word, your word in John chapter 3, he said, he must increase, I must decrease. Would you help us, our Father, to walk with you in humility, realizing, God, we can't even breathe without you helping us. We can't do anything, Lord, without Jesus. Help us tonight, our Father. God will give you glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I'm glad my handkerchief was in my left pocket. Let me illustrate just a moment. I'm going to show you how hard this is. I'm Pastor Fenoy down at Bible Way. Could I give you something to read?
Sure.
Done. Yeah. I just sowed a seed. You can't hold that lady up at the Walmart checking out your groceries, amen, trying to give her the Romans road, the plan of salvation. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can give the guy behind you with two items your spot in line. The guy checking you out, he notices that. And then when you get up there, you could give him something like this. My pastor made a video several years ago. It'll take 15 minutes of your time. Would you care to watch that when you get a chance? That's real hard, ain't it? Brother Dale, you meet them in that business. I mean, you meet them with broken hearts and grieving. Amen? Everybody, you could say, we'd like to invite you to our church. The information's there on the back. Would you come and be with us if you could? There's no one set way. But we could just be sensitive to the Lord and get the seed out of the barn into the field. And I believe there's no telling what God might do. I thought of something, Sister Michelle. I didn't look closely at the brochure. Does it have that QR code on it? Have you already printed them, Brother Adam? I'm sorry? You haven't printed them yet, though, right? No, leave it alone. I was just thinking, you know, if we haven't, it'd be good to have that. Some people are just curious about the QR code. I didn't pay any attention. But there's all kinds of ways. It's not the people at the gas station. And, you know, I'm going to Illinois, but I'm going to see a lot of people between here and Illinois. And there's, how many believes there are certain things called divine appointments? That God helps you to cross path with somebody just at the right time, just at the right season. Amen. And I'm not fussing tonight, but I tell you what, if we'll do it, Brother Houston, you'd be surprised. God will send people in here from everywhere just because we're obedient. He may not send one person that we invite, but God honors obedience. I learned that years ago. Amen. The sower went forth to what? To sow. We don't know the ground, Sister Linda. We don't know that person's heart, if it's stony, if it's going to fall among. Our job's not to know the ground. Our job's not to give the increase. Our job is to sow the seed. Those words are precious, aren't they? Someone cares enough precious. You want one? Amen. You want one, brother? Amen. You want one, Brother Rick? Thank you. You eat out somewhere or something. That one works really good. What must I do to be saved? This was your life. Well, it'd be good to just pray over these. Amen. Just ask, what if? Logan, what if you had died when you first come to church? But God. Amen. But God. Rusty, what if you had died when you first come to Bible Way? Oh my. Rusty said, the preacher up there in the tent said, even good old boys. Even good old boys. Well, now, youngins, I run out of seed. But I know where there's plenty at, don't y'all? I'm going to encourage you to stop walking by it and get it out of the barn. I hope she has to order some more seed. This is our seed lady right here, amen? I hope she's calling me and saying, Pastor, we're out of this track. We're out of this track. I said, wait, call me for get some. Now, I'm done. But if we sow sparingly, how are we going to reap? If we sow bountifully, how are we going to reap? Amen. Amen. I believe that, don't you? How many's glad you come tonight? How many's glad you stayed? You going to help me get it out of the barn? Amen. Get it in the field. Amen. Oh, James has been up here putting it all around Daddy's feet. Amen. Daddy must need to be born again. Amen. Amen. He's sowing the seed. I'm not your mama. You want to come here? He said, no. Mama, deliver me from this man. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Thank you for coming.